From Montreal, Canada, it's the Travel World Radio Show.
Travel World. Liberty Works Radio Network.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number. Ooh, push that button.
Studio.
Good morning.
And we would like to send a heartfelt Valentine to our dear and lovely Bonnie. We really do love you, Bonnie, and I hope you had a terrific week this week on Valentine's. So, Steve, we have a terrific show lined up today. One of my very favorite guests of all time.
Yes, Rodney Stitch will be joining us shortly. He's written a series of books, one of them being The Real Unfriendly Skies, The Saga of Corruption, and it's come out as a revised third printing as well.
That is amazing. Corruption
book.
In the airline industry, NTSB, FAA and stuff. He was an ex-FAA inspector.
And there's a number of stories with regards to corruption and graft and really things that are totally illegal corruption at United Airlines. We talked about United last week, and here are some instances that Rodney will be telling us about that have taken place over the past 40 years. That
totally and absolutely true, something we can really sink our teeth into, because this is an unbelievable series of books, and you've heard it first on the Liberty Works Network.
Oh, yes, it's a whole series, Defrauding America, the Encyclopedia of Secret Operations by the CIA, DEA, and other covert agencies.
Sounds good.
Drugging America, a Trojan horse. I mean, Rodney gets to the truth behind the matters that concern us all. And really interesting reading. It really opens up your mind to what is really going on.
They even have
the
truth behind the TWA 800 cover-up, and it was a cover-up.
Oh, I know what it
which
was.
Which we thought. Well, everybody knew it was a missile. But
it
do you
was
remember,
a missile.
Do you remember last year we had woman on whose theory was, well, Boeing makes defective airplanes, their fuel tank is bad? Well, it was a 747 story. She came on. Her theory was it was a defective fuel tank design, and Boeing didn't want to spend the money to fix the fuel tank. But what she never bothered to address was, if they knew that this was a defective fuel tank since the 60s, why did they not correct it when they built their 777? I mean, if Airbus can make planes, because I asked her specifically, well, what about Airbus?
Yeah, that's a big plane.
The technology exists. So
I think somebody works for the advertising agent of Airbus.
Everyone has their own axe to grind, and everyone has their own position, and you have to sometimes get behind that whole veneer to see where they're actually standing and what the truth is. That's the hardest thing when you read or listen to anything these days is whose position is what and what is behind the
fact.
Exactly.
We have not a clue. I mean,
and
she could have been.
Speaking of positions, the segue queen. That's the Melanie Rathis word, of course.
She should be on next week, yes.
Mm-hmm. We have a special treat for you, a little 22-page book. Anybody who's interested in learning French, I can't think of a better way than reading Allopolis, and if you can't get that, then there is a little book called Les Cinq Doigts de la Main, The Five Fingers of the Hand by Isabella Marengo, and it's a nice little...
Is that a masturbation book?
Yeah, okay. Gee, it takes all the romance out.
Oh, Mr. Romance himself on Valentine's week. Thank you, Yoav.
It's actually President's Day weekend now.
Can you believe it? Yoav is married?
Yeah. It boggles the mind. It boggles the mind.
Lots of people can't believe it.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
Hey, truth in broadcasting. Liberty Works.
And for our listeners in Montreal area.
Boy, that's romance, huh?
2 months from now is Easter weekend. And
I'm going to
read
this book.
Traditional getaway.
Here.
Yeah, don't you have to have the translation.
I can translate.
Oh, please don't. Keep it to yourself. You can take it home with the Valentine's gift for your wife.
It is an erotic story for women by women.
And we may be talking to the author shortly in studio in a couple of weeks. We'll try to get the...
Talking.
Is she pretty?
Okay.
Sort of.
but for our listeners... She must be, otherwise you wouldn't be so casual.
I think he's trying to strike up a date with her. That's why he's like, kind of, strikes up the date, gets everything hooked.
Stephen was actually moving towards another topic.
Yeah, I'm moving to another topic before we spent too long on the last one.
Speaking of long, yes.
April 12th, Easter weekend, marks the traditional getaway to New York City. For our listeners in the Montreal area tuning in on the internet, www.libertyworksradio.com, there is the traditional Aladdin travel getaway to New York City, where it includes round trip, luxury motor coach transportation, 3 nights hotel accommodation at the luxury Marriott Marquis, a superior first-class property right on Times Square. And you know what you always say about Marriott hotels, Willem.
Oh, bigger shots, Ted. Marriott.
Yes, so for the price of staying at a lesser hotel, you can this time really indulge yourself at the Marriott Marquis. 4-hour city tour, services of a tour coordinator, and you can also plan for your optional city tours in advance. April 12th weekend is a great weekend to go down because Easter weekend, you have the traditional Easter parade going on, and you can take it broad. Broadway shows, museums, the nightlife. You have the free time to explore New York City just as springtime beckons. And some great prices can be had as well if you give them a call at Aladdin Travel. 514-489-5723 or send them an email at Travala. That's T-R-A-V-A-L-A at total.net. And this has become an annual tradition to get away Easter weekend for the Aladdin Travel motor coach tour to
just
New York City.
Just don't get too caught up in the Easter egg hunt in the gay village.
Well, you did that one.
God,
yeah.
You did?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. That's just one of the activities.
It's not a pretty visual, you are.
You're telling me.
But
I was about to leave.
Oh, is that what
it
is?
Oh, boy, please keep talking. Easter Parade is just one of those things. You see the pictures on TV, and you want to be there on site. So,
big furry bunny.
And when you're staying at Times Square, you're right in the heart of the action. You're not staying in Hackensack and having to take the New Jersey Transit bus. Sometimes you see the prices on those New York City tours, and you're staying so far out in the suburbs, it takes you longer to get into the city by the Lincoln Tunnel or the Holland Tunnel.
I hear the folks at Aladdin really do a good job, though. They have some decent accommodations. It's a great value. So if you're in Montreal, you want to go to New York City for the Easter weekend, this is a great trip to take.
Yeah, 514-489-5723.
Certainly. So, moving on to the unfriendly skies.
The unfriendly skies.
I've been looking forward to talking to this guy for a long time.
Oh, yes, he was on around a year ago with us, and it's always great to have Rodney Stitch with us because we get to the bottom of some of the stories that we've been reading about, hearing about.
Don't say bottom too loud on your ass. You know what he's
going to
do.
He's going to get the wrong impression, and he'll...
I'm stuck on this part of the book where it says spook whistleblowers.
Yes,
spook the whistleblowers. Well, here, that's actually a really interesting part of that, because the thing about it... And
this is defrauding America.
...in common, it's around the world, actually.
Every government has.
To the whistleblowers, what the government does is they spook a whistleblower. In other words, you see something that's not happening that's right, you want to do the right thing, and they will do everything in their power to discourage you from coming forward. And so you become one of the background, one of those people who just, you know, turn a blind eye. And this guy is one of the few men who's actually standing up saying, no farther, this is it. You know, we've got to do something about this. Because we're talking about the lives and the safety of Americans here.
Mm. Oh, completely.
We need more people like Rodney Stitch who will stand up, take a stand, and expose what is going on in the world.
You have some samples from some of the letters and stuff that he wrote. They're, all in all, not only is it a fascinating read, but... I mean, it reads better than any spy novel, because inside, they even detail some of the things that they did to him to discourage him. I mean, they took away everything he owned, really.
Now, there's discouragement, there's discrediting, there's
they took
everything
stuff that he owned?
Yes.
Okay, no, that's just wrong.
Yes, of course.
Oh, yes, and we'll learn more when we come back with more of Rodney Stitch here on Travel World on the Liberty Works Radio Network, on the internet at www.libertyworksradio.com. Of course, check out the Travel World website. We have the links to past shows, the people we've had on, the bios. You can read all about everyone and his brother. More information than...
Except me and Willem.
Yes, the laggards in the group. You do learn something about the two of you that you... that you wanted the website, but you still have to get your bios up there. So there,
all right.
There is info. So
stay tuned. Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
An hour of news and views to thinking teens and their families. Join us live at... creating weakened digestion, elimination, and immune systems.
Dr. Skip Snow gives you healthy alternatives Monday through Friday on this station and Liberty Works Radio.
Raising a little hell with Rodney Stitch here on Travel World with Will and Back to Stephen Pickford and Yoav, and definitely raising a little hell because Rodney is exposing cover-ups. He's exposing wrongdoing in government and in government offices and stuff. Rodney, welcome back to Travel World.
Yes, good morning.
Glad to have you with us again. That really interesting book, The Real Unfriendly Skies, Saga of Corruption. It really tells it like it is.
Oh, I'm chewing through these books. Boy, they're fantastic. It was great having you on last year, and I can't say, I think we're going to have you on again real soon, because we could do at least 100 hours on these books.
Well, there are so many subjects, not only in the aviation game, and, you know, I was an insider. I was a FAA inspector responsible for air safety at the world's largest airline, so that's where I first discovered all areas of misconduct in the aviation business and government. And then from there, over a period of years, I have received documentation and data from dozens of other government insiders, including former heads of secret CIA airlines. And this that formed the basis for my other books, which are Defrauding America and Drugging America.
Now, how does this impact on actual safety day-to-day within the skies of North America?
Well, now, as far as air safety is concerned today, let's say as far as the number of crashes are concerned, we have far fewer crashes than we had, let's say, 30 years ago in the days of the propeller aircraft. You know, I flew captain on virtually every commercial aircraft we've had, like the Boeing Stratocruisers, the Constellations, and what have you. And in those days, we were the emergencies we would encounter would be far more frequent and far more severe than the pilots today that have that are flying the jets. The jets are much more reliable. When you do have an emergency, it's not as threatening as in the old days. But we still have problems, and these problems threaten everyone who flies. And you know, one thing, even though the crashes are less, the near crashes certainly still exist. And one typical example, there was a United Airlines 747 taken off from San Francisco. This is about a year and a half ago. And on liftoff, they had a compressor stall, which was similar to, well, the engine doesn't really put out any power at that time. So the plane was mishandled in a manner that it's hard to believe anybody would do. But anyhow, the plane missed Mount Bruno, which is a peak just outside of San Francisco Airport. They missed it by 100 feet, and that separation has been acknowledged by the FAA and by United Airlines both. And talking to many of the pilots, these type of incidents happen far more frequently than you would otherwise think.
Many times they aren't even reported in the press, although that one was at the time, but didn't receive a great deal of coverage. It was a byline and a page 32, and nobody really paid much attention to it.
That's awfully scary, though, missing a mountain. I wanted to ask you something. Ever since we had you on last year, since then we actually had a lady on who wrote a book on her theory as to why a TW-800 crashed. Now, her theory was fuel tanks. That the Boeing built a defective fuel tank and they never corrected it, and it was really just a bad fuel tank that caused it to explode. In your book, you mentioned the theory that many of us have come to accept, which was the missile theory. What do you think of her theory, Rodney?
Well, let me go into this a little bit. First of all, as you know, my job as a federal investigator was also investigating aircraft incidents. I've made lots of recommendations into the record. But the reason, on my website, and I think it's on defraudingamerica.com, there's a three-page letter that I sent several months before TWA went down. And that letter was very detailed, warning of missile attacks on commercial aircraft. And what happened, I sent this letter to every member of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, detailing the threat of the missile attacks, which I learned from one of my CIA sources who was at one time the head of a large and secret CIA operation based in Honolulu, which had taken over after the Nugenhan Bank went down. But anyhow, he provided me with details on it, and I sent this information to members of Congress with the urging that they immediately contact me and my CIA source to try to prevent surface-to-air missiles falling into the hands of terrorists, which they were about to. Well, not, would you believe it, not a single one ever responded. And, you know, I have quite a bit of credibility and the background, and then my CIA source certainly had. But anyhow, here, a few months later, we have over 200 people see the missile trail, and they see the explosion. Well, the CIA and the FBI, they said, well, what the people saw was really not a missile. What they saw was the center fuel tank exploded, the whole front of the plane rips off, and then the plane climbs 3,000 feet in flames, and what the people saw was not that thin missile trail, but the plane climbing. Well, when a fuel tank explodes, that's a massive fireball, and it's pretty hard to mistake that for a missile trail. And one of the people who saw the missile was what I call a missile trail expert. He was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. He's seen many missiles. He's seen what they look like when they explode. And the appearance is totally different from a fuel tank explosion. But anyhow, then the NTSB, they cover up. And in the hearing, they refused to allow any evidence to be presented on the missiles and devoted it solely to the fuel tank, for which there's no evidence showing that it started there. But anybody that's worked with the NTSB politically appointed board members realize that the NTSB has frequently covered up, and in my book Unfriendly Skies I give you numerous examples. So I feel it was definitely a missile, and whose missile, who knows, but I don't think it's the Navy, though sometimes they do things that I wonder about.
Now, Mr. Stitch, I got a question about this TWA. You don't know who, but why would this have been done? I've heard theories that there was somebody in the plane with an Ebola virus about to take down all of New York or something. Like, what, you know, why did the government do that?
Well, you know, in my books, I stick very much to facts. And when it comes to why, you know, first of all, like, especially with the CIA, they're so compartmentalized. Even the people that I've talked to for the last 13, 14 years who have given me a lot of documentation, all they can do is speculate why it's being done. But, you know, the United States is not exactly loved by many countries, especially with some of the horrors we've inflicted upon them. So just like with Pan Am 103, for instance, you know, nobody addresses who had the primary reason for doing this. And that's another situation you might want to talk about. But that was
definitely
a cover-up there. But people had a reason for doing it. And it's, again, you know, there's so many missile attacks on commercial aircraft in Africa. I've been surprised that there haven't been more of them in the United States.
Oh, that's something really to read in the unfriendly skies. $25 plus $4 shipping. You can give a call to 1-800-247-7389, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to get hold of Rodney Stitch's book. And we're going to be continuing with Rodney after the break when we take our news update with Mark Allen here on the Liberty Works Radio Network. The other books in the series, Defrauding America and Drugging America, also available on the Internet. Check out some of the these interesting sites, defraudingamerica.com, druggingamerica.com, and unfriendlyskies.com. The number again, 1-800-247-7389, as we discussed this morning, the saga of corruption at the FAA and the NTSB with air safety activist Rodney Stitch, and then later in the show, Ray Domenico at the Hotel Victoria, Toronto's new boutique hotel in the heart of the financial district.
You got to go check out these books, though. You're really going to be fascinated. It captivates you. You're just not going to want to put them down. Rodney has been there. He's an expert at it. You're going to really want to read what he's got to say.
You're going to really find out the truth behind the media reports that you've been seeing and hearing over the past years, and puts the whole issue of air safety into perspective in an easy-to-read style.
Definitely. Cool. That and plus other things, covert operations, CIA. I mean, this is available, it's real, and it's in the books. Join us following the news with Mark Allen on the Liberty Works Radio Network. Across America via satellite.
From the bouncy, the hell is a banshee?
Seek help. Travel World Radio Show.
This is Liberty Works.
All my friends I've known in the travel agent I trusted. I'm riding along on this beat up old plane. Look out the window while the rivets are rusted. As that ground crew pushes us backwards on that rickety L-1011, I'm feeling around for that flotation device. And when the safety film is shown, I'm paying close attention. Beat up old jet liner, hope you got a tune up today. Oh, beat up old jet liner, did they sneak you past the FAA?
Love that song. Bob Rivers, a comedy tour with Beat Up Old Jetliner. Speaking of sneaking it past the FAA, we got Rodney Stitch online, who actually talks about such things and misconducts and cover-ups within the FAA, NTSB, and even in government. Rodney, before the break, we were talking about Pan Am 103, and you have a bit of the truth behind it. Now, recently in the news, in the Dutch court, they've actually convicted one of the Libyans.
One of them, yes.
And
nice.
Can you tell us a bit more about this?
Right. Again, like I mentioned earlier, the reason the bomb was put on board the plane was because the United States Navy shot down a Iranian Airbus, killing 290 people. Now, that aircraft was on a scheduled run on a commercial airways. It was climbing through 12,000 feet, and it certainly wasn't any threat to the Navy. Anyhow, the Navy shot it down, and my insiders, and I give you the details of this in the book Defrauding America, but the Iranians then contracted with a terrorist group in Syria, paid them a certain amount of money to retaliate. Well, the group already knew, or else they learned, about a drug smuggling operation using Pan Am aircraft that involved the CIA, the DEA, and it was operated out of the DEA office in Nicosia, and involved Lebanese and Syrian drug traffickers. Because of the way that functioned, it was easy for the baggage handlers to simply put on another bag that contained the bomb. Well, of course, the plane blows up. And there were documentaries shown on TV in Europe as to what really happened. And now, in the United, one reason, the two reasons why the United States did not want the truth to come out. One, they needed Syria's involvement in the Gulf War, and Syria was the home of the terrorist group. Two, we can't exactly start educating the public as to the government's involvement in drugs, so we pick on the Libyans, and the evidence was extremely suspect. And now, three people that I know that tried to expose this. One was a Mossad agent, former Mossad agent, who has a investigative firm in New York City. He was asked to investigate by the insurance carriers for Pan Am. So he investigates and he comes up with the same information. Another source, a friend of mine who was an undercover agent for the Defense Intelligence Agency in Beirut and in Nicosia, he submitted a affidavit into the litigation. And this, since he was based at Nicosia in the DEA office, he knew about this drug smuggling operation. So the government goes after both of them. Fortunately, in New York City, the jurors didn't believe the federal prosecutors and found the person innocent within about an hour. And then in the other case, the government went after this DIA agent, charged them with a passport violation. And of course, when you work undercover, you're working with bogus passports. But anyhow, I feel it was more of a political deal with the conviction of one of the Libyans.
Interesting.
Unbelievable. So the Libyans
boggles the
really,
mind.
Really you know, there's so much information here. Now, the other thing, Rodney, the Swiss Air crash, again, what happened? There's an MD-11 cruising along, and it falls into Peggy's Cove. What?
Well, you know, there's a case where the pilot simply failed to get the plane on the ground fast enough. The airline was saying, well, they had to delay to dump fuel. Well, I've lost engines already shortly after takeoff when you're far over your landing weight. But there's nothing wrong with landing under those conditions. The reason they have a maximum landing weight is if you make a hard landing, it puts more stress on the aircraft if your takeoff weight. Well, there was no reason that plane could not make an emergent descent and go right in and land. Now, when I was a Czech airman for the FAA, we would routinely go up to about 37,000 feet altitude and simulate emergency. We make emergency descent. So we were doing it all the time, and there's no reason why they could not have done so. But pilots, anyhow, I feel there was a little poor judgment involved with that.
A little, geez. Now, I want to ask you, if you're cruising at 35,000 feet at full cruising speed of an MD-11 type or a DC-10 aircraft, how fast would you be able to put that thing on the ground, assuming an airport was nearby?
Well, real fast, because, again, you know, I've been through it dozens of times. Today, we don't do it in the aircraft, but in the old days, in the DC-8s, we'd go up and, heck, when I would shout depressurization, then the pilot knew, okay, that's his clue, hey, we have an emergency. So he immediately starts his descent, and we can be down to almost sea level in a matter of I don't recall how fast it was, but it seems to me about 7 or 8 minutes. And of course, we could be going right into the airport. I believe was at Halifax that was right in front of him.
But yeah, exactly.
You know, I've landed in a lot of times in various, especially in Gander. I've landed there many times, and when I was flying for the airlines, and there's so many airports there they could have gone into. real fast, but he delayed it.
Well, they talked about electrical failure due to probably a fire in the electronic controls of the MD-11. Do you know whether that defect has been corrected in the MD-11 or what? Or what was it?
Well, the belief is, first of all, there was an electrical short there, and then the insulation that was used was not as fireproof as they had earlier claimed, and that the fire started. You know, there's another angle to this, and this is a situation that exists and has existed in other crashes, never given any publicity. We don't have flight engineers anymore on most of the aircraft as we used to have. This saves money. But here you have two pilots who, first of all, they're busy flying the aircraft and radio communications. Two, they don't care about the nuts and bolts of the systems. And so they oftentimes simply do not have that understanding. Well, if they had a flight engineer on board, if he was qualified, as some of them were and some of them were not in the old days, the engineer could very possibly have done something right then and there to have corrected the situation. But again, that's a money-saving deal, and so you take your chances.
Ronnie, we are, again, unfortunately running out of time. We have about 2 minutes before we have to break for our third commercial break. But we do want to get into your website, your books, and so on. And we'd like you to stay online just in case.
DruggingAmerica.com, DruggingAmerica.com, and UnfriendlySkies.com.
Definitely. I want to put a link on our website to yours, because please do keep up this good work. This is important information that needs to get out there.
Yeah, I don't want to take another flight again, to tell you the truth.
Well, you got to reassure yourself somehow that it's not all bad, but gee whiz. Rodney, thank you again for joining us here on Travel World.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Stay online, though, in case.
Ray Domenico, our next guest, who's the general manager of the Hotel Victoria in the financial district of downtown Toronto, may have slept in one of his comfy beds too long last night.
Yes,
and
yes.
Had to be roused from the land of Nod and driven to the telephone in a wheelchair to get on the air to talk to us. Who knows? It's a very comfortable, very quiet hotel.
You're insane.
Oh, yes. That's what I mean.
Across America via satellite.
Overweight? Tried to lose?
Pacific. It's the march to the Final Four in college basketball's national championship from Westwood One.
It's NCAA basketball.
Here on Liberty Works Radio.
Welcome back to Travel World with Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, and Yoav in the studio. We were just online with Rodney Stitch talking
Sarabo.
About... Yeah. I said Yoav in studio. Well, your last name is not in studio, it's Sarabo. Yeah.
He's going to change his name. Instead of changing your name to Phillips or Michaels, he's going to change it to in studio.
That's kind of funny. We read in another brochure about somebody else named Michaels, and people always change their name to Michaels or Phillips.
Yeah, there's now a Mitch Michaels at CNN. And
Michelle Michaels at Phillips, who pronounced their name Mitch Michaels, which, of course, is the same thing as Mitch Michaels here, who... He has a better name than Michael.
There's a Tappy Phillips or somebody at WABC. But anyway,
getting on. Tabby Phillips?
Tabby, yes.
She's a cat, right?
Yes. Well, or another part of a cat. What's the other name? The Hotel Victoria downtown Toronto is a small
a boutique property with a touch of elegance in the financial district. And joining us now,
Stephen, what is a boutique?
A boutique property is a term used for a hotel necessarily that doesn't have any meeting facilities, but it's okay. A personalized attention to detail and service, usually under 50 or 75 rooms. That would be a definition of a boutique.
Well, that sounds terrific. Tell us more about this hotel. You've got Ray Domenico on.
Ray Domenico is the general manager of the Hotel Victoria. Yep. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning to you, and how are you today?
Oh, having a great time here in studio. Hotel Victoria goes back to the turn of the century. A lot of people don't really know it's there. Tell us more about your lovely little hotel.
Thank you. The hotel was built in 1911. It was the first fireproof hotel built in Toronto. It's actually the second oldest hotel in Toronto after one of the larger ones called the King Edward Hotel. It's always been a hotel, but it's gone through different stages. And about 12 years ago, the investors decided to sort of reduce the number of small rooms to larger rooms and to make it into what they considered at that time a small sort of personalized type of hotel. We now have 48 bedrooms. We just recently went through a renovation of all the hotel rooms in the last year and a half, and we're doing very, very well here. It's some of the boutique. Our rates aren't exorbitant, and that's usually the problem with boutique properties. They become very expensive but very exclusive. There's no question. We sort of kept ours to take care of the majority of people who travel who are looking for great accommodation but inexpensive. And of course, our location is fabulous. We're right in the heart of the financial and theater district.
Walking distance to everything, Via Rail Station, the subway, a couple of blocks, you reached everything, shopping, restaurants.
Just everything. The theaters, we do a big business with theaters. We have a lot of tour buses come in that use us to go to the theaters as some of the other properties. But we're not a convention property, so it's quiet, it's peaceful, and we've got another phase going to happen in the next year or two, a small phase, but we're going to be doing work on our meeting facilities. We're going to convert that to bedrooms. And then we're going to start on the main floor back here where we currently have a breakfast room, and we're going to take that and have a couple of small, like, sort of boardrooms put in.
It's quietness was the hallmark, because in the financial district, particularly at night, there's no traffic after 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
True.
You don't hear anything in the rooms. And because of the older construction, you don't hear anybody else on your floor. So
nice. Believe me, Stephen's
right, Steve.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with
because you know it's true.
Yeah,
why do you think he picks up the listeners there? The laser listeners.
Yeah, but people like to get away, and I think that's the big thing. You know, and we're sort of a hidden jewel, as I call it. We're the only hotel of this type in downtown Toronto. And I think in time to come, the owner may want to spend more money in our next renovation. He may want to upskill a bit more. But so far, he's done a great job. He's made it it's better than average, and the prices have been kept low. So we've done really well, and we do a lot of mail-outs and things that are wonderful.
And oh, yes, you're on the Internet.
Yeah, and you people on the radio, of course, that's what people listen to.
Well, people take that recommendation. It's on the Internet. The website that you refer to is www.toronto.com/hotelvictoria. And the average rate, I'm looking here for American listeners, right to $100 US a night, under $100 US most times of the year. So very reasonable for a downtown location.
Thank you very much. You're absolutely right. And this is why we've been, our thing now is just to let everybody know about us, because it takes a while after you've, had renovated for 12 years and to get people back coming to us. And we've had a great response. We're building both a commercial trade and lots of tourists. We get people from all over the world, actually from Europe as well. And we do tie in with one of the big companies, UTEL, so they've helped us immensely too.
People can call you as well. You have an 800 line, 1-800-363-8228, 1-800-363-8228 for the Hotel Victoria. People want to get away from that property. The
table chair hanging lamp spectrum.
You go
right
in there.
Am I in Honolulu or in Sioux City?
That's right. That's what we did. We did a little bit differently. Some of the rooms are in various sizes because it was built as a fireproof hotel. So you've got everything is soundproof, and so you can't knock out rooms. So we did come up with a nice variety. We've got four types of rooms. We got two large, very large, called deluxe rooms, and we have other rooms that are small, standard rooms, but are very comfortable. And people, listen, I mean, as I said, I'm bragging, but we've just have done so well. And people that usually leave us are always say they're coming back or they're going to tell their friends. So it's a very nice little property, and it's immaculate. We stress that in particular because we're going through now our spring cleanup. We've already started, and we go through every room and just maintain its standards and make people hopefully happy. Nice, you know, fluffy towels and coffee in some of the rooms, and we're going to be probably having a complimentary continental breakfast starting very shortly. But we have it on the weekend. Complimentary right now, Saturdays and Sundays, and we're thinking of doing it on a full-time basis, and which would be another added incentive for the guests.
That's full. I can't say enough. I mean, a great location, great rates, friendly people, quiet, restful location in the heart of the financial district. You get away from that abundant, the chain mentality. Unbundle yourself from that chain feeling. You Hotel Victoria in Toronto.
Unchain my heart.
You know, some people go to and want to be chained, but that's in a different part of town. 1-800-363-8228. www.com/hotelvictoria. Our recommendation this week for accommodations in Toronto, and that website link will be available on our website too at www.twc.ca.
That's right.
Ray Domenico, all the best for continued success at the Hotel Victoria. Glad you could join us this morning.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and so nice of you to invite us to be part of your program. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
We'll be along to visit you sometime soon, I'm sure.
We'll look forward to that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much, and have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Oh, our site's looking great. Everybody's complimenting us.
Everyone. I'm talking to people.
Come on.
Talking to people in Los Angeles this week, and they say great website. So the merch, and we'll also be talking to a repository down in Alabama.
Big loss of time.
Hey, I got some stuff lost.
Well, it's all yours. Everything is there.
Really?
You've lost, yes.
Nice.
The Hawaiian shirt with the
yeah.
The pen stain in the pocket. Yes, that's yours, Joe.
Excellent.
So
join us again next week on Travel World.
I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Joe Seralba.
Join us again next week. Travel World is...